This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Sometimes when a priest suggests confession to someone, they say something like, "Oh, Father, it's been so long since I went to confession. We were going to go to confession, we'd be there all day." Well, if the truth be told, the reality is quite the opposite, because probably the confessions of those who have not been to confession in years are always the shortest. And why not? Because if we have not confessed in years, what possibly could we remember from 2 years ago, let alone Christmas, let alone 5 years ago? We may have been going through something in our lives years ago when we made miserable the lives of everyone around us, including ourselves. But who can remember? Because maybe that was 5 years ago. So no one should ever be concerned that their confession will be too long, because even if it is a little longer, that's why we're there. Now, the other thing a person might say when they're being encouraged to confess is, "Oh, I don't really have anything to confess. I haven't committed adultery. I haven't committed murder. What can I tell you, Father? Oh, ye of little imagination. And what made you assume that the only things that were sinful in your life would be adultery and murder? Did you forget that there are 8 other commandments?" And I mention all of this particularly today because we are, first of all, in the season of Lent, where we should be spending a good part of our meditation time contemplating how it was our personal sins that brought the Son of God, Jesus Christ, from heaven to earth so that he'd be able to offer the very sacrifice of his body for the sake of our individual personal sins. Make no mistake about it. That's why he came, to forgive us our sins. He did not die for us because we're good. He died for us because we're bad. We're all sinners. God could have said, "I'm done with them. They're miserable. They're a failure." But he didn't. And so it's important for us this Lent, as every Lent, to think about our sinfulness in terms of our actual sins. And we need to think about those sins and acknowledge them and humbly confess them and ask for forgiveness. This is what Lent is for. That's why that first reading is so kind of remarkable, because we're treated to the exposition, the full version of the Ten Commandments, the famous Ten Commandments. And in case anyone was ever wondering where the Ten Commandments come, they come from the Bible. They come from the book of Exodus. Now, each commandment, you might notice it in the first reading, the commandment was a little bit of a change in order, a little bit also of kind of a larger explanation that comes from God to the people. But the commandments that we've gotten, we have memorized, is a sort of a headline. And then we have to sit and meditate on all the related ways that we can offend God, using that as kind of, as I said, the headline. And why not today then go through the Ten Commandments and make a sort of a quick examination of conscience? Now, this will be basic and won't be too long, but it can give us an idea on how to examine more thoroughly our lives and our souls and our behavior in order to get to confession this Lent. So the first commandment, "I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me." This commandment tells us that the whole focus of our existence is God. No one and no thing can come before God. We could ask ourselves, since the last time we went to confession, did we make anyone or anything more important than God? Careers? Success? Money? Wealth? The fine opinion of others? Were we tempted to act or speak in a way that was against God or the teachings of the church, but we didn't want to look uncool in front of the cool people? Especially when it came maybe to political issues. Did we neglect to pray? Did we forget our morning and evening prayers? Did we get angry at God and maybe blame him for some unfortunate thing that happened in our lives? Did we get into any of the, shall we say, the spooky stuff? Did we consult psychics or fortune tellers or Ouija boards, curanderos or brujas or readers or advisors? Did we try to communicate with spirits? Some of these things can be mortal sins, and that means if we know it is wrong and we intend to do it anyway, we destroy our friendship with God, and we need to confess. The second commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. This basically means that God has given us the gift of speech. Not one animal has this gift, and I still don't think dolphins can talk. But this commandment tells us that we use the gift of speech to give praise and glory to God. That's what it's for. So the most obvious question about this commandment is, did we ask God to witness a silly thing? Oh, swear to God, everything is swear to God. Or worse, swear to an untruth? Did we swear falsely under oath in court? But this commandment also asks us, did we use vulgar and impure and rough words? Did we curse anyone and hope that bad things would happen to them? Did we use the name of God or Jesus disrespectfully? Did we shame our gift of speech by communicating evil, ugly things? The third commandment, remember to keep holy the Sabbath, the Lord's Day. What else could that mean for Catholics other than have we deliberately missed Mass on Sunday or holy days of obligation? And how many times? This has always been considered a mortal, serious sin, enough to send us to hell, because it is a direct defiance of the Creator who has said to His creatures, you must worship me and on the day that I tell you. So not to go to Mass is to look God in the eye and say to Him, no. And you don't do that. That's unthinkable. Of course, sickness excuses, and these days, because of the carelessness of those who own the stores and the restaurants in which we work, sometimes even our jobs, are a legitimate excuse. God does not expect the impossible. If you're going to lose your job because you have to, if you went to Mass and the guy says, I'm going to fire you, you got to go to work. And God understands that. But we must go to confession for all those times that we refused to worship God and Him alone. The fourth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. This commandment asks us if we are children, have we disobeyed our parents and those that they have placed over us? But if we are adults and our parents are alive, we must ask ourselves, are we helping them? Are we visiting them? Are we seeing them if they need anything? And if our parents have died, are we going to the cemetery? Are we praying for them? In case they're in purgatory, our parents gave us life, and we are bound to love and care for them in whatever appropriate way forever. The fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. When I do an examination of conscience in the confessional, I always ask the person these questions. Have you hurt anyone physically? Have you hurt someone's feelings with unkind words or comments or actions? Words, and we know this, can hurt sometimes more deeply than hits. Have I been involved in any way in an abortion, the taking of the life of an unborn child? Did I abuse alcohol and get drunk? Did I use drugs and get high? Did I mutilate my body with cuts or an excess of piercings? And do I regret all of these offenses against the Lord of life? Regret basically means we say to ourselves, if I were in the same situation, I wouldn't do it again. That's the definition of regret. And it is sufficient for true sorrow. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. This commandment focuses on God's gifts to us of life and love. And most specifically, it makes us ask, have I been involved with anyone who is not my lawful spouse? We must also reflect on the need to change things in our lives if we are living with someone with whom we are not married in church. And if we're married, we also ask this question, have we used artificial birth control to prevent having children? Have we tried to sterilize ourselves or been involved with weird reproductive science? The sixth commandment also asks us to ask ourselves, have we looked at pornography and read impure things? Have we watched evil movies and enjoyed dirty television shows? Have we gotten drowned in this impure culture of ours where unabated sexual pleasure, divorced from family, divorced from human life, is a constant obsession? Time to get to confession. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal. This simply asks, have I taken something from someone that does not belong to me? Maybe it was gum from the store. Maybe it was time from my employees. Maybe it was hours that I stole from my boss. Maybe I took money. Maybe I stole ideas. Maybe I stole a test answer. But if it belongs to someone else, it's not mine. And this commandment asks, well, did I take something from someone? Or did I hurt the value of anything by destroying it or vandalizing it? And if so, I must resolve to restore it. The eighth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Basically, we are not to lie. And the lie is defined by saying it's telling an untruth with the intention to deceive. We must tell the truth to anyone who deserves to know the truth. I think it's particularly serious if we tell a lie and it gets someone in trouble. So we must make up for our lies to the God of truth, because anything less is homage to the father of lies, Satan. And that's awful. The ninth commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. If the sixth commandment says thou shalt not commit adultery, the ninth commandment says don't even think about it. The problem is that we live and breathe and move and have our being in a culture that manipulates us constantly by means of sex. It tries to control us by controlling our lower desires. And so they flood our eyes and our ears and our hearts with all manner of low, base things. And so we ask ourselves by this commandment, have I gotten too much in all this dirty stuff out there, the media and the internet? Do I even notice it anymore? Do I have to hide what I'm watching from my family and my friends? And can I bring myself back? The tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. Now, I never thought very much about this commandment in the sense that don't wish you could steal something. Don't be envious of others' success. But I think this commandment gets more and more important every day because we have created for ourselves a truly consumer society where we consume everything. But in reality, it consumes us. It devours us. It devours everything. Did you ever notice? All we do is shop. The busiest day of the week is Sunday. Now, many of you are old enough with me when Sunday was a day of rest and the stores weren't even open. It was really quiet. If you were a kid, it was boring. But I'm sure if you were an adult, you were grateful for it. But all they've done is force us to get to the store to buy stuff constantly. They have made our lives to revolve around the accumulation of things and money and goods. And they have fixed it so that as much as we buy, we desire even more. But you never have enough. So maybe our test question about this commandment, about whether we are getting too materialistic and maybe violating this commandment unwittingly even, is to ask ourselves, how many TVs do I have? How many apps do I have? How many shoes do I have? How many cars do I have? And do I really need each one of them? And if I lost one of those things, how upset would I be? And if I lost one of those things, how upset would I make everybody else in my house? Well, this is an examination of conscience before we go to confession this Lent. And yes, we are all going to confession this Lent, including me. And it makes no difference if we've not been to confession in a long time, years, months. This is the time, this is the moment, this is the year, this is the Lent. No more delays, no more hesitations. If we are ever going to prepare ourselves for Easter, as well as for the rest of our lives, and for whatever we may come up with against as history unfolds, we are going to need all the grace that we can get. Lent tells us how, and confession gives us the means. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.